and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
We've been watching our grandkids since Thursday. I leaned over to Lynn in worship this morning. It says, brings back a lot of memories, doesn't it? Phew! Oh, anyway, you know, kids are they're so fun. They really are. They're just fun. They love fun. If you don't keep them having fun, then that's a different story there. But we're really blessed to have them with us. Lynn's back in the nursery. She's had the kids. We've had the kids since Thursday. Her duty for nursery was up this weekend. So she's back in the nursery taking care of all your kids. So I'll try to keep as long as I can today. Are you listening, honey? Yeah. It's good to see all of you guys. I took Ollie, we went for a walk yesterday out back. We have a brook out back. It's not on our land. It's land that abuts ours, and we went walking out in the brook. The kids call it paradise. Our own kids call it paradise. They used to go back there all the time when they were younger. So we walked back there, and coming back, Ollie was telling me about his friends who had so much money. He said, my friends have a lot of money. I said, really? And he goes, yeah, one of my friends, he has $400. I said, $400? I said, where did he get it from? And he says, his grandpa. This kid's, okay. I'm like, okay, this kid's a genius. This is amazing. He says, I only have $200. My friend has $400. And I said, he gets it from your grandpa, huh? And he goes, yeah. He goes to my grandpa's house and he works. My grandpa finds all kinds of things for him to do. And he does that. And I said, what kind of work? You know, like yard work. He carries sticks and stuff like that. So we're walking back to the house. And I said, hey, Ollie, I think there's a job that you can help me with today. Really? I said, yeah. And I didn't offer any money at all. I didn't do any of that. And so I got the tractor out. I had him sit in the tractor. He sits in the tractor. I talk him through how to start it up. He starts it right up. Tell him to lift the bucket. He lifts the bucket. Of course, his legs can't reach the gas pedal, so he's on my lap standing the whole time. And we drive the tractor on over to the stumps and get the backhoe out. And the backhoe to me, both the backhoe and the tractor, no kidding, it took me like 3 weeks to get this down, right? Because you've got different knobs, different controls that do different things with the backhoe and the bucket and all that kind of stuff. And I'm talking this little guy through, 10 years old, talking this 10-year-old through doing all this stuff. And he's got it down pat. I mean, this kid is learning my tractor faster than I learned my tractor. Pulls up this big stump, digging it. I just stood there and supervised and made sure the tractor didn't run him over. Good grandpa. And then I went back in the house, and he wasn't expecting, he didn't say anything about working for money or anything like that, but the whole conversation led me to believe that was probably on his heart, so I gave him some money. I said, here, Ollie, here's some money for helping me do those stumps. Really? Yeah, so now he has $200 plus what I gave him, so. But I love the excitement of our kids, our grandkids. Since we've had them Thursday, the first thing they said when they come is they said, can we go to church on Sunday? And we said, absolutely, it's Pizza Sunday. Pizza Sunday! They've been talking about coming to church all week. I'm not kidding. All week. And this morning came. Came real early at our house, let me tell you. They knew it was church day, and so they were up early, before the sun. So here I am. If I'm a little tired today, you'll know why. But I love their hearts. I love their attitudes, you know. And you know when you go to Grandma and Grandpa's house, I don't know about you guys, but my grandmother used to take care of me. After school, she would watch me. I'd walk to her house, and she'd make, I'm 5 years old, she'd making coffee for me. 5 years old, right? And she's loading it up with cream and sugar. I mean, that coffee tasted like ice cream. My mom would not let me drink coffee. She said it stunted my growth. Grandma dosed me up with coffee. And, you know, grandparents get away with things that the parents don't want them to, but we get, you know, sugar, cinnamon, toast, those little cereal things. Every time they come over to the house, that's their favorite. So we load up on the cinnamon toast cereal. Ollie's looking at this square piece of cereal, if you want to call it that. I don't mostly cinnamon and sugar, I think. And he said, hey, there's a smiley face in my cinnamon toast. And he was right. And I thought, hey, we should put this on eBay. We can make some money here. Anyway, fun times at our house. Let me just get into this. I'm gonna read a couple scriptures, and I'm just going to share some things. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to agree to live in unity with one another and put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. Be restored as one united body, living in perfect harmony. Form a consistent choreography among yourselves, having a common perspective and shared values. That's out of the Passion Version. I like the way that translation addresses that. But I read this, and as I was reading it, this is 2,000 years after it was written, and when Paul wrote this, there were only a handful of churches. Most of them were just very small groups, gatherings. They were had to go underground, basically, because if the government found out their meeting as a church, they would get broken up, arrested, or whatever, imprisoned. You had both things. You had the Pharisees, the Sadducees. You had the strict religious Jews that were looking to get rid of Christianity, wipe it off the face of the map. You know, all Christians were sought after to be persecuted. And Paul's writing this to a very relatively small amount of believers. And I'm reading this 2,000 years after. Agree to live in unity with one another and put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. Oh my God. And I don't know about you guys, but there's an awful lot of division today, 2,000 years later. A lot of division. I mean, you've got one denomination saying they're the right denomination. You've got another denomination saying they're the right denomination. You've got non-denominations saying they're the right denominations. You've got home groups saying they're the only right denomination. You've got groups of people who are like isolated and stuck in their four walls, and anybody that walks in is a stranger. It gets looked at as a weirdo. And Paul's words are still the same today. Live in unity with one another and put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. And that's the truth about division. It just tears apart. We're approaching a political season again. It's the time of year where I basically get on Facebook and my blood is escalating into high levels of hypertension when I see various posts and various comments. I just, at the beginning of the year, I just begin to ponder a question. Why can't we just be Americans? Why do we have to be liberal or conservative? Republican or Democrat? Why can't we just be Americans? don't know, some of you might not agree with this. And I the last election cycle, I was being a bad boy. And those people, they're beyond help. And as I've been thinking, why can't we just be Americans? I'm thinking about the divisions and the speeches that are going to be coming up. They're going to seek opportunity to divide people, class against class, party against party. It's like in between all of this stuff, there are people like us who are just people who have a responsibility to love one another and put to rest any division that divides us. I think I've had to put myself in check so much. I mean, if you've ever followed me on Facebook, I've been on Facebook since 2012. Before that, it was something else, MySpace or something like that. I can't even remember what it was. Before that, it was something else. And I've been active on social media various times, various areas. I used to quote things and put things up on my page. And I would say probably within the last 2 to 3 years, I've kind of gone silent on Facebook. And I think I've kind of gone silent because I realize that it's hard to post anything without someone taking some kind of offense. Someone like, you know, I post pictures of birds, you know. Many of you follow me. I have a Daryl Nicolette photography page. If you'd like to get on that and see that, non-controversial things, at least in my mind, right? Post a picture of a bird and someone's going to get offended with what I'm saying about a bird. I'm serious. This is like crazy. I don't know. Form a consistent choreography among yourselves. A consistent choreography. It's an interesting way to phrase. Work together for the same cause. You know, might have different moves. You might be doing things, saying things a little bit differently. But work together for the same cause. What's the main cause here? I mean, what's the main point? The main point is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The main point is his gospel is still the same. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It wasn't God so loved a certain sector of people in the world. It was God so loved the world. The world. So far as I know, we're still in it. We're still walking here. We're still living here. We still enjoy the fruits of our labor, and we enjoy the fruits that come from the produce aisle. Love one another, you guys. It's just so important. To me, it's like there's stuff going on today. It's like I said, there's, you know, fault finders. There's people that are obviously have been doing wrong things. Corruption goes on. You know, we've lived through scandals. I've lived through scandals since I've been saved for 47 years now. When I rededicate my life to the Lord, I lived through so many scandals, like I lost count of them all. The truth is, our eyes need to remain focused on Jesus and his gospel, not on what this one's doing or that one's doing, not on what this one's saying or that one's saying. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul addresses this again. He says, "But brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you're not ready for it. And even now you're not ready, for you are still in the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For one says, 'I follow Paul,' another, 'I follow Apollos.' Are you not just being merely human?" It's an interesting question. More of a statement, but a question nonetheless. I read a post yesterday on someone's Facebook page, a friend of mine's Facebook page, and maybe you saw it too, but it said that, maybe I shouldn't say this, because I'm not sure I can remember what it was saying, but it was basically saying, every statement should be a question, because statements close the mind. And I read that and I went, wow, I don't know, because then if you ask a question, don't you expect an answer? And isn't an answer a statement? And I thought, we can't make statements anymore. Everything has to be a question. And I'm like going, this is why I get hypertension on social media. Follow Paul. Throw it out there for any name that you might think of. The danger is following individuals. We're called to follow Jesus Christ. And Paul isn't correcting them for people following him or following Apollos. He's just saying keep the balance, keep the perspective. He's not saying, okay, forget Apollos, come over to me. And he's not saying forget me, go over to Apollos. He's just saying we're both Apollos and I are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live in harmony with each other. Don't make these petty little differences that create division. So he goes on. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. As the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Caiaphas, or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ. And Christ is God's. You belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to God. And we're all in this together. I would think we're going to go out and have pizza in just a little while, out on Pizza Sunday, and I would think the conversation around the table would involve a lot of different varieties of conversations and talk. And I would think if we all got into politics and we all got into religion, we'd probably be able to get some good divisive arguments going. Try to keep your heart clear of that, because it just plugs you up. Right? It just plugs you up. In all honesty, there's a story in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, where they were looking for another apostle to take the place of Judas. And they didn't vote. They cast lots. I don't know. The wisdom of that is kind of cool. Casting lots. It's like, leave it to God. Now we get to make vote, and I know voting is our right, and we vote. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just saying, to me, it makes more sense to cast lots than it does to vote. I'm in trouble. I know. God help me. But it's like, maybe there is something to it. It's like, you know, maybe we should cast our votes like a lot. Like, God, I'm going to vote, and I'm going to leave it in your hands. We're all together in this. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ, and Christ is in you. If it's if it's the church down the road, that's the church down the road. What they teach, what they do is where God has brought them. What we teach and what we do is where God has brought us. I shouldn't be requiring them to teach what I teach. They shouldn't be requiring me to teach what I teach. I need to be responsible to who I hear from and walk in that direction. Because one of these days, I'm going to stand before the throne, and my works are going to be like, they're going to be looked at. And I'm sure I got a lot of bad ones. I'm almost certain of that. And some of them are just going to get burned up, but I'm still going to be before the throne as a son of God. I'm confident of that. I wouldn't want to live my life thinking that I'm going to go through this life being who I am, living as I am, walking as I am, and then all of a sudden get up before the throne and hearing, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Hello? I want to be confident that when I get there, I'm going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And you say, "Well, how do you know that?" Because I know the nature of God and I know his gospel. He so loved the world. I used to be in the world. I used to live in the world. I used to live selfishly for my own self. Believe it or not, I used to drink. I used to party. I used to have all kinds of fun. And it ended up almost destroying my life on multiple occasions. And I remember turning to the Lord, and I remember him washing over me, and the comfort of the Lord just came on me. I felt his presence in that room. Changed my life forever. I just turned 21, a couple weeks after I made that prayer to the Lord. 21, legal drinking age, and I got saved. I guess what I'm trying to say is the gospel is all inclusive, you guys. It's not regulated to this ministry. It's not regulated to the ministry up the road. It's all inclusive. We just went to an all-inclusive resort, the very first all-inclusive resort we've ever gone to. The very first. We were wondering, they'll probably make money off us, because honestly, look at me, I don't eat a lot. So now some of you will contend with this during Pizza Sunday, but Pizza Sunday is a very special time for me. I get to eat all the pizza I want and then run it off for the rest of the month. All-inclusive resort. So we get to Mexico, finally get to the resort. Beautiful resort. You walk into the lobby. It's all high ceilings and marbles, wide open. The wind's blowing through the place. You've got that nice warm Caribbean. I'm going to bother some of you with this message because some of you haven't gotten out of there yet, but there's a nice warm Caribbean breeze is blowing through. The sun is shining. It's just absolutely beautiful. And you walk up and check in, you know, and all-inclusive doesn't mean you don't pay a price. It just means you pay a price and it includes everything. And they put a bracelet on your hand so that anywhere you go inside that resort, you get everything free. Oh, boy, did we have fun. I mean, I have not... Let me say it like this. Probably, I'm trying to get the correct dates right. Probably since 1985, lunch is not a major part of my life. I eat breakfast and I eat supper. Skip lunch. I'll work right through lunch. I've worked right through lunch. Maybe have a snack once in a while. But for the most part, breakfast and dinner. Go to an all-inclusive, you don't only get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You get breakfast in between lunch, in between dinner. Everywhere you walk, there's like these kiosks cooking up burritos and tacos. Oh, I couldn't resist. I walked by on lunchtime. I got off my beach chair and I went out to get a latte for Lynn at the cafe that's open 24/7. Are you kidding me? 24/7 lattes. And so I'm coming back and I pass this little kiosk and there's a guy there. He's cooking burritos. Those are like chimichangas, big, huge things. And I said, what you cooking here? And he goes, oh, we're cooking burritos. And I said, what kind do you have? And he goes, pork, chicken, beef. I said, could I have a pork one? So he fixes me up a pork one. And I took a bite of that thing, and I sat there and I said, Lynn will never approve of this for me. So I ate half of that burrito, and I went back to the lounge chair. And I thought, well, maybe she'll just want a bite, you know. So I go back, and I sit down, and she goes, what you got? And I said, oh, I got a burrito. This guy at the kiosk was cooking it. And she goes, can I have a bite? And I said, sure. So she takes a bite, and she goes, could you go get another one of these? It was so, so good. Oh. So there we sat in our lounge chairs next to the water, and the waves were rolling in. We're eating burritos. All-inclusive resorts, go to the restaurant. Why am I telling you guys this? Because it's before pizza. I'm working up your appetites right here, right? Sitting in these restaurants, you know, you just walk in. There's, you know, we tipped anyway. They tell you you don't have to tip, but we tipped anyway. And we go in there, and you just order what you want off the menu, and they bring it to you. And it's just so simple, and it's so awesome. And you don't have to pay a price. You don't have to sign a check. You don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. Oh. Tell you, Mexicans know how to cook. Wow, they cook some really good stuff. I'm not the kind of person that thinks restriction. I don't think Jesus is like looking at us going to an all-inclusive saying, bad people. Bad, bad. You should not be eating this kind of good food. This is not religious. I think it's like, this is like a picture of heaven. This is like a picture of the gospel. Where you get stuff really good. If you ask for a loaf of bread, he's not going to give you a snake. The gospel is inclusive, you guys. It's a good gospel. And it's meant for us here and now. Not just in the sweet by and by. I want to enjoy a little heaven on earth now. Oh, gee, did I just say that? I did. Because I believe it's in the gospel. When Jesus told his disciples, pray as it is in heaven, so let it be on earth. So all of you need to go to an all-inclusive resort somewhere in the Caribbean and just let that warm breeze hit you. Or Serena and Dan just got back on a cruise together and they were on a boat cruising all the time and going to all these fun places and eating all the food they could enjoy. I know this doesn't sound very churchy and very religious, but just do it. Because it's fun. And it's good. It's good. And God is good. And his gospel is good. And he didn't make a mistake when he sent Jesus to save the world. So now that might sound a lot different than another church might preach or another preacher might preach, huh? It might sound a little different. It might. Maybe it's the same. I don't know. But allow me to live according to the revelation that God has given me without a judgment towards what I believe. And I believe that that's where this has all got to change, you guys. And we got to be a part of this change to help. We really do. The church has got some work to do today so that we're not further dividing one another from each other. We get controversial speakers in here. Sure, we get controversial. We've had controversial schools here, controversial teachings. When we first started moving into the Enneagram, we got phone calls and emails saying, you know, that's a cult. The Enneagram, they've got the satanic symbol right there. And it's like, that's not the satanic symbol. That's a diagram explaining 9 different types of people. And yet, wow. It's like, well, all of a sudden we joined up to the devil's idea. You hear what I'm saying? You guys with me? Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And it's the question that still rings in the air today. If God is for us, who can be against us? And I can preach it from this pulpit, and the pastor up the road can preach it from his pulpit, and it still carries the same weight. If God is for us, who can be against us? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want you to just stand up with me at this time. Now, just look at someone next to you. And just say, if God is for you, who can be against you? Go ahead. Now look at the other person on the other side. Tell them that. If God is for you, who can be against you? Yeah. Now declare it to the churches up in Nashua. If God is for you, who can be against you? Declare it to the churches in Massachusetts. If God is for you, who can be against you? Wow, you guys grew quiet on that. We must have more believers for Nashua than we have for Massachusetts here. It's the beautiful thing of the gospel is like Jesus didn't come, he didn't come to divide us. He came to unite us. And yes, he came to bring division. I understand that scripture. I get it. But if you look at the context of that scripture, he's not talking about just everybody being against each other. He's talking about what the truth brings. It brings a sword, and it divides between bone and flesh and spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for this group of people. I want to thank you for who you have made us to be. You've raised us up, and you've given us so much. You've given us an all-inclusive gospel. You put a seal on our foreheads so that everywhere we go, we get to have all of the benefits of this glorious gospel. We get to walk in power. We get to raise the dead. We get to heal the sick. We get to help people in need. We get to help people, pull people out of the very pit that they may have dug for themselves and got themselves into. We get to reach in and we get to pull them out. There's people that have addictions of various kinds, Lord. We get to help them through those addictions and bring them out of those addictions so that they can know freedom. And I want to thank you that that takes place right here in this house, and it takes place in other houses nearby. And we bless those works. And we thank you, Lord, that you are for us and not against us. And I want to thank you, God, that we have shed a religious mindset and said, no, that doesn't belong in this house. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there is liberty. And we are a people set free and at liberty.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org.